has come to pass. See what the Lord has done.
On your wedding day, you're gonna sing that.
Can you see what the Lord has done?
When you walk into that property,
can you see what the Lord has?
When that healing happens,
what we've been praying for, He has brought to pass. See what the Lord has done.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good evening, saints.
Good evening, Deacon.
And yes, bless the Lord, Sister Desiree and Sister Shanique. To God be the glory. Amen. Yes, amen. We are gathered together again in one accord. Amen. Something amen. Good is going to happen in this place. Well, many of you know that through sacrifice, when you sacrifice unto the Lord, it's a great blessing. Not everyone can sacrifice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us can't even sacrifice to our children or to our job, much less to sacrifice to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us, if we see the rain start to set up, It's not even start to fall or anything yet. You want to call out from work. You can't even sacrifice for that. You know, we're quick to like want to find an excuse not to do something. You know, and as soon as we get that excuse, we just want to sneeze one or two time, or our head just tick us one or two time. We find an excuse and we say, ah, that's it. We're not going to bother to do that. You know, so it takes a lot to sacrifice. And you being here this evening is a sacrifice at such short notice. It shows that your hunger and your thirsting for God. You know, it really shows what caliber of person you are, or what you're transforming into when you can sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. And the Lord honors sacrifices. And I want to tell you this evening, the very fact that you are here, we take it not lightly. We know that you're pushed through something, you're fight through something in order to be here this evening. In order to be here this evening, you have fight through something, you know, and God honors that sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, for our devotional this evening, we want to look at spiritual food for the soul. You know, we tend to feed our physical, you know, and the same way our physical need food is the same way our spiritual man need food. Amen. The same way we put on clothes, or we protect the physical, is the same way we have to protect the spiritual. Yes, we got to fence it around. We got to preserve it. You know, preserve our spiritual identity in Christ, just like how you'd protect your name. You know, you don't want anybody to say anything bad about your name. I don't want to hear anybody say anything bad about Everton Scott. You know, and if I'm guilty of it, I'm going to make amends. Just like how in the spiritual, you don't want to hear anybody say anything bad about what you know. You want to be blameless then. You know, you don't want to I don't want you to get it confused. There's that common tendency that whenever you bear the name of Christ, anything that you do, whether good or bad, you know, and it's more easier when you do the bad things. When you do the bad things, people are going to look and say, then you say you're a Christian. You know, sometimes it's not even bad enough, but they expect every time you should be someone that they should wipe their foot on, and you must just keep shut. You must just keep quiet. They will come and they borrow from you, and they're not going to pay you back. They will come and they tell you all ass dead and cow fat, and expect you to believe, and you to you know. And if you don't compromise, or if you don't agree with what they say, they chat behind your back and say, then you say you're a Christian. You know, so get used to it, people of God. People will say that about us, but get used to it. Don't let anybody wipe their foot on you because you bear the name of Christ. We are meek, but we are not weak. You know, we are meek, M-E-E-K, but we are not W-E-E-K. Amen. We are strong. We have our strength under control. You know, so be strong in the Lord. Don't let anybody just take you for a common push around. You are special in God's sight. And looking at spiritual food for the soul, John 6 verse 35 said, I am the bread of life. Whosoever come to me will not hunger, and whosoever believes in me shall not thirst. And Matthew 4 verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of the Lord. Let us reflect. Like our bodies, our soul require a daily nourishment. Physical food sustain us for a day, the word of God and his presence sustain us for a life in him. Jesus identifies himself as the true bread that satisfies deepest hunger. The hunger for meaning. We're talking about the hunger for meaning, the hunger for peace, justice, relationship with God. You know, we have that constant hunger. In a world, this world that we're living in, it have an abundance of everything. You know, and many will choose to satisfy themselves in the world to have their full. But we as a people of God, we choose to satisfy ourselves around the word of Almighty God. You know, so is a point in life that we reach now that we need to satisfy the spirit man. And so we are here this evening. You know, we're going to study on the Holy Spirit. We're satisfying the spirit man within us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life.
And I just saw that God to come before you,
Nourish
Lord.
our soul today with your truth, your
Lord, there be done
presence, and your
prayer.
love. Help us, mighty God, to
That you may offer me
harbor
longer.
your love in us
Yeah,
so
much
that, mighty God, we
thank
can be
you. Thank you
exploded
for
with the
the
abundance of love so that
Thank
we will
you
love our
for my
neighbors
prayer.
in the same way. As we
That
study your word tonight, mighty God, I pray that you will edify us. I pray, mighty God, that you will fall on good soil. I pray for your human servant, Lord God, that we will bring the word. I pray, mighty God, that it will come forth with clarity. I pray, mighty God, that it will be edifying to us and we will grow with it. We will grow by it and we will grow for it more and more each day. Mighty God, I pray that you will relieve us of all tiredness even now. Mighty God, I pray that the day that we have lived, the day that has gone this far, Lord, that we will take none of it with us even now. And that you, O God, will be our strength and our guide as we bask in your presence. Have your way, mighty God, and be a blessed, be cause us, mighty God, to be a blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I now hand over to Sister Camille. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Good evening, people of God.
Good evening,
Good
sis.
evening. Lord. I am indeed elated. I'm excited to be in the presence of the Lord once more with you, my wonderful brothers and sisters. I bless God for each of you. And I just want to let you know, even before we begin, that you are very special to me, very dear to my heart. And I want you to know that I need each of you to survive. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And so we had not the last meeting, the first time we met, we started looking on the Holy Spirit of God. The last time we met, we were answering questions, and the next time we meet, according to the will of the Holy Spirit, we might be answering questions again because we are aware that there are some questions had not yet responded to, and so we will do that. But tonight we're going to go back to become more edified on the Holy Spirit and how he operates. I want to tender apologies for Elder Edwards, who is missing in action tonight. Unfortunately, she was not able to make it, but we are here. The presence of the Lord is here. And so we just bless the Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right, we started looking at the Holy Spirit. Anybody has anything that stood out from the last time we spoke about the Holy Spirit, that something that rests with you that you want to share? Anything could be something that I would have shared, could be something that you have discovered on your own through more reading. Anything about the Holy Spirit? Anybody wants to share anything that you have learned, anything that you know, anything you remember? I open the floor at this time for you to share. And then I will quickly review and go into tonight's session. Praise God. Anyone?
So from the first meet, I had a better understanding of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I was even able to explain that to my daughter.
Bless the Lord.
So I
Yeah.
had clarification on that.
Praise God. And I'm celebrating because you have learned so well that you're able to teach. To God be the glory. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing, Sister Shanique. Anybody else? Nobody else? All right. Let's jump into tonight. So I'm just going to quickly refresh some of the selling points that we had mentioned the last time. So when we last met, we spoke about the Holy Spirit being a person. Remember, we had said that the Holy Spirit is not a force, it's not a it. We refer to him as a person because he is a person. He's alive. You know, and things that are alive, you know, they have we refer to them as living beings, right? As well, he's a person. All right. He is one that brings a presence. When the Holy Spirit of God, when his presence come, you know, things are not the same. It's not the way it would have been before. There is a change, there is a shift when the Holy Spirit of God comes. Amen. As Sister Shanique would have mentioned, we spoke about the doctrine of the Trinity, how the Holy Spirit is the third member. We have God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. We also mentioned, I also made it very clear, and I want to remind you tonight that, you know, what we discuss here does not limit the Holy Spirit. The information that he's inexhaustible. Right, so whatever information I share is only a part of a wide, you know, platform of things that you can learn about the Holy Spirit. I am still not fully knowledgeable about him and how he works. I am still learning his ways and his tendencies. And so I am not in any position to be able to tell you that this is how the Holy Spirit works, and he must work that way. He works however he chooses. He's not controlled. Amen. And so he works in whatever way or shape or form he chooses. What I will share and what we have been looking at are some common ways that the Holy Spirit may manifest. Also, ways in which the Bible would have presented him. But he's not limited to just the Bible. Persons have shared different experiences that they have had with the Holy Spirit that may not have been mentioned in the Bible, but he is a presence. And all I will say to us, the more you seek after him, the more you want and yearn and hunger after him, the more you will come to know about him. You will never get to that place where you know everything about him because our little limited minds are not able, we don't have that capacity, you know, to contain all that information about him. You know, we learn, and it doesn't matter how much we learn, there's always something more, a vast amount more that we may need to learn. And so tonight we're going to go into the role of the Holy Spirit and the representations of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. We know the Word of God tells us in different contexts who the Holy Spirit is and the roles that he plays. Anybody is familiar with any of those roles? Who is the Holy Spirit to us? He is, who does the Bible say he is? Anybody? I want us to interact, man. Even if we're not so sure, we can give a not so sure answer. I'll still take it. It's a safe space where we just share and we're not condemning anybody. You know, we're learning together. Anybody knows any role of the Holy Spirit? All right. So the Holy Spirit carries out or plays different roles in our lives. The Word of God tells us in John 14, 26 that He is the helper or the teacher. He teaches us and reminds us of God's Word. God's Word. I have, I'm a living testimony of this and experience or encounters with the Holy Spirit as my teacher. There are things that I'm not sure about, and I start, reading about it, and then the revelation will come. Amen. And so I know for a fact, and even if I hadn't encountered it, that would mean that he isn't, because the Word of God says that he is. And the moment the Word of God says it, then it has to be true. He is a teacher or a helper. He teaches us to do things, show us how things are done, tell us, don't do it that way, Camille. Say, I wonder if I could set it that way. And some of us will say, I have something drop in my spirit. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you how to perfect a certain situation, how to put the pieces together to solve a certain problem. That's the Holy Spirit being our helper, helping us and comforting us. All right, as his sister Candicia posted in the chat that he convicts us. Oh, absolutely. He convicts us. What does it mean to convict? Another word for convict would be to reprove. He helps us to know when we have done something wrong. And he does not come from a place of condemnation. The Holy Spirit, he just gently, I remember some time ago, Deacon would have done a presentation, and he mentioned how the Holy Spirit works, and it had stuck with me, and it's probably more than a year, he said that the Holy Spirit does not force us. He leads us. Amen. He gently leads us. We have done something wrong, and when he comes to us, presents himself to us, show us that we have done something wrong, and then he leads us to a place of repentance. It's not a place where why you do this? You're not supposed to do this. No. It's just a feeling, a heavy feeling on the heart. Camille, you're not supposed to do this. You need to go into repentance. And so right where I am, I can go before the Lord and say, listen, God, I have sinned. I have fallen short. I pray for your forgiveness. Teach me how to control so and so that I don't get involved in these things. Amen. So yes, he absolutely is a convictor. He reproves us, corrects us, right? Thank you, Sister Candicia. The Holy Spirit also is a comforter. When Jesus was leaving the earth, he said to his disciples that he's going to leave a comforter with them. It means that when we are going through our deepest valley situations, when we're depressed or oppressed, and we feel like, there's no coming out, and like we're going under, the Holy Spirit of God provides comfort. Sometimes it's a word that he releases in our spirit. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I was just feeling down. There was a situation at work, and I was just down. And he just came to me and he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within you? Camille, hope in God." And I was able to pull myself together, remembering I am not my own. So I need to put away all of this feeling, this pity party sort of thing, and know who I am and know to whom I belong. And that gave me comfort. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He is our guide. And it works with conviction. He shows us what is right and leads us to the truth. And so even if I have a conversation with Deacon and we're discussing something in the word, and I had a certain opinion and we left with a certain opinion. Sometimes when you're gone and you're in the shower or you're driving, the Holy Spirit comes back to you and give you a revelation, and guide you to the truth. It cannot be so because so and so. You say, oh, I didn't think about that. So he's ever present, and is there to give us the truth, guide us with the truth. He's also our strength. He gives power to live for God. Of ourselves, without the help of the Holy Spirit, where would we be? We would have probably failed at this walk in Christendom. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, who we can rely on, who we can communicate with, we find that strength. We find, that energy to keep going. Praise God. And so these are just what I think this is five roles that he plays. And as I said, he's inexhaustible. So you might re be reading and you might find more, and that's okay, right? But I'm just focusing on those five for tonight. He's the helper or the teacher. He's our comforter. He is our guide. He's our strength, and he's our convictor, or he reproves. Bless the Lord. And so we're gonna flow into the bigger portion of tonight, what we want to look at. And if you have any questions, you can put it in the chat. You can indicate by a raise of hand. I don't want to go and be talking up here and we're not understanding, and then we leave without any substance. All right. So if you have any question, you can go ahead and ask. I will say, if I may not know the answer, I may know it, and I will share what I know. If I don't, Deacon will back me up, and or we can find out. Yeah, and as I said, we're learning together. Sakamil don't know everything. Sakamil is still learning, right? So if I don't know, I will find out, and then I will be able to respond to it afterwards. All right. So the Holy Spirit, you have anything to add, Deacon, before I move into the representations?
No, not yet, sis.
All right. Praise God. Now, the Holy Spirit is represented in the Bible in many forms. I have about six written down. I don't think we'll cover all six, but we'll see. He is represented in the Bible in many different forms. And the first one is a dove. If you look in Matthew chapter 3, and I want you to write down and go back, and make a reference, go back to it and read it for yourself. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Do I have somebody to read? Matthew 3, 16, 17. Matthew chapter 3.
Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Candicia. So the first representation of the Holy Spirit is that of a dove, right? And as Sister Candicia would have read, that happened after, I think I have a different translation, and mine says the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming to rest on him. So the Spirit of God can be represented. He's not a dove, but it can be represented as a dove. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when we think about a dove, I wonder why, the writer chose to use a dove. So I started looking into the character of a dove, the nature, the characteristics that it carries. And when we think about a dove is gentle and peaceful. Just like the Holy Spirit, so gentle. Doves don't fight aggressively. They're very calm creatures. If you know birds or you observe birds, you see the what do you call it, the pichary, or what however it's pronounced. And they're always fighting, back and forth. The dove is to himself, he's just calm, right? Just like the Holy Spirit, very gentle. And that's how the Holy Spirit approaches us like a dove. Very gently he comes to believers. He stands at the door of our hearts. He knocked. He prompts us. Like he's saying, just let me in. Just let me in. You know, he's not bam, 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 down the door and say, I need to come in. I need to. No. He's gentle. You have to make that decision. Amen. So he's gentle, just like a dove. A dove is also pure and clean. First of all, the color of a dove generally is white. That represents purity, right? And when we look in the Old Testament, for example, in Leviticus, somebody find Leviticus 5, verse 7 for me, please. Leviticus 5, verse 7. We see where doves are used for sacrifices. Amen. That's how the cleansing and the purity come in. Because in those days, a sacrifice would be made when somebody sin, right? They offer sacrifice to God to be forgiven. Luckily for us, Jesus died. And so we don't have to make those physical sacrifices anymore, right? But in those days, that's what happened. And the doves were used as sacrifices in those days, you know, and that shows that cleansing, that purity, because your sin, you step out of line, so you sacrifice the dove, you know, for to be forgiven of your sins, right? So it shows that cleansing, that purity. Somebody found Leviticus 5:7.
7 or 17.
Yes. I want to read.
Go ahead. I think it's seven. It's not seven.
Leviticus 5, verse 15.
Verse seven.
Oh, seven.
Seven.
My bad.
What does it say?
And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he had committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering.
Thank you, Sister Desiree. The dove, the dove, right there for the cleansing, for the offering that they may seek forgiveness. All right, bless the Lord. So the dove is seen as a pure bird, just like the Holy Spirit, very pure. The Holy Spirit is who brings cleansing to us and brings purity to our lives. And if we ever want to live a lifestyle that is pure and we want to live in that realm of purity, it takes a divine connection with the Holy Spirit. Sister Camila talked about divine connection. It takes us constantly being in dialogue with Him. Because remember, we had said, you know, that He will guide you. If you do something wrong, He's going to tell you so you can correct it and say, God, forgive me. Right? And so if He's always there, He's that one friend who never allows you to slip up. As you slip, them see it and tell you you need to do better. And so he's there. And even though he tells you with love, and he tells you in such a way that you don't feel bullied. You just really want to run and do it, right? So if we're ever wanting to live in purity, we are going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. All right. A dove is also faithful and loyal. They dove mate. When you think about how they mate, I didn't know this, you know, but I learned it. They are devoted to their partners for life. They are loyal and faithful, just like the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us, he's not going to abandon us. Amen. He's going to always be with us. And that is something that we can appreciate from the Holy Spirit of God. And the final one that I have, and like I said, you can look at more. He's a harbinger of hope, a harbinger of hope, a sign of hope, a signal of hope. And when we look at when Noah, when the flood came, and the place was flooded, and Noah opened the window, he released a dove to go, and the dove went and came back with an olive leaf that signals new life, new hope. And when we are connected to the Holy Spirit, we experience hope, we experience new life. The Bible says that we are a new creation, we are born again once we experience salvation. And the Holy Spirit is that seal that we have indeed experienced salvation. All right, so he provides hope. Praise God. Anybody has any questions, any comments before I move on to number two? All right. Praise God. And like I said, if you have any questions, feel free to stop me. The next way, so the Holy Spirit is represented in the Bible by a dove. He is also represented by fire. And we're going to look at some scriptures where we find it, right? We find in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And at Pentecost, tongues of fire." Right? Tongues of fire, and I'm paraphrasing, distributed themselves and rested upon the apostles. Now, God's revelation of himself by fire, it is not unusual. And that is something that would have been understood by Jews. It would have indicated the presence of God. This unusual occurrence with the descent of the Holy Spirit would signify that God was in the event. So, what was happening is that a group of disciples were in the upper chamber and they were praying. They were praying. And the Bible spoke about the Holy Spirit that came as a wind, first of all, and then he sat upon them, tongues of fire, and they were able to speak with other tongues, meaning they spoke in tongues. Sometimes I hear some people talk some things, and I think we touched it briefly the last time. They talk some things that you can't understand. It sounds like a total different language. When I was growing up, I used to think the persons around me would say, they get in spirit, then get in a spirit. That's what I had known it to be. When I got older, I realized it's the Holy Spirit sitting upon them and manifesting his power, allowing them to speak. Sometimes when a believer speaks in tongues, they can translate what they are speaking. Sometimes I've heard believers speak in tongues and then comes a translation after. I've seen believers speaking tongues over here, so and somebody over there, so get the interpretation of it, And I've seen where the Holy Spirit has sat upon persons and allowed them to speak in tongues, and they don't know what they're saying. They just know that they have lost themselves to the Holy Spirit. He's inspiring them. They're speaking, and they don't know because the Bible talks about when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. So you could be in your closet praying. The Holy Spirit visits you in a powerful way. You start speak some things that you can't understand. And that would have been the Holy Spirit manifesting in that way, right? According to the Bible, that's edification. Amen. Praise God. I want to point out to us, though, that even though he comes as fire to empower us and to edify us, he also, the fire, the Holy Spirit can come by fire also to symbolize the judgment of God. So we have God being, gentle and forgiving. But there's another side to God too, right? We're the side of judgment that none of us want to be on that side, right? But when we look, oh, absolutely, Sister Candicia. Absolutely. People pretend, but speaking in tongues is not just the sound. It comes with a certain power. And so sometimes you hear some persons, and especially if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. For me, my personal experience, when somebody is filled with the Holy, like I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, so I speak sometimes. If somebody else is speaking, immediately I feel a stirring inside of me. It connects because it's one Holy Spirit. So if Deacon Scott go and speak, it can't be that Deacon Scott speak and I have the same Holy Spirit. And it's like, it just sound like it's ringing in my ears. And I'm like, why am I not stop? Something inside of me is triggered. It's one spirit. So usually I find that when somebody speaks, it triggers something within me and I can feel it in my stomach, right? And that's why I said we have to spend more time with him because the more time we spend with him, the more we know what his nature is. Because people pretend all the time to speak. And I think that's why Paul, they tell women in Corinth to tapenes, because them down there with them gift and carrying on and, you know. But that's our different time. But let me quickly share an experience. I went to church when I was much younger, Sister Candisa, and we were having a prayer meeting. And so my care group leader at the time called me up to pray. We were praying for a gentleman, and I rested my hand on the gentleman. He would have testified that he was mad, and God would have brought him back. God would have brought him back to sanity. And so the brother asked me to pray. We were going to pray for the man, and I rested my hand and I started praying. And so when I started praying, when we talk about spiritual gifts, you'll understand. As an intercessor, I think Deacon Scott can probably attest to the fact that when you're an intercessor and you start to pray for somebody, whatever they're carrying, you start to feel it. It start becoming heavy on you, and you start going down some road where you don't know anything about the person, and you wonder how you're praying these things. Because I know Deacon Scott is an intercessor too. So when I started praying for the gentleman, I gone down a road and it just gets heavy on me. And it's like everything he's carrying, I start to feel it too. And it starts to weigh me down. And this lady, she's not a member of the church, is the first time I see her. And she came to church and she walked up to me and she was speaking in tongues. And I just hear her coming in, but I was focused on the prayer. And she came and she started carrying her hand from my head down, and I started feeling like I was going in a dark place. All I could see was darkness, and my mouth can't open. It's like I was dumb. And so she was there and she was speaking in tongues, but she didn't carry the Holy Spirit. She only had the tongues. If she did carry the Holy Spirit, it would have ignited me to go on some more. It would have empowered me. Iron sharpens iron, but it's like she was shutting me down. And so I was there until I let go of the man, because I just felt like darkness taking. I feel like I'm going down in a hole and I'm trying to scream for help and my mouth closed. The prayer just stopped and my mouth closed. But I didn't know the Holy Spirit. When I look at it now, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, just use your hand and back her off, because she was behind me. Just use your hand and back her up. But you know, you're a young believer in a church, and you know, I'm saying this lady come and she's speaking in tongues. At that time, I thought she was under the anointing, because me hear her speaking in tongues. But somebody I say, no, sir. I thought it was my mind telling me to back her off. So no, somebody I say, no, sir, me can't back off this lady here. So it was another lady that was sitting down there. The Holy Spirit sent. I can't forget Sister Pam. My Sister Pam come up there and she hold my hand and pull me out of the other lady's hand. And the moment Sister Pam hold my hand and pull me towards her and she started praying for me, I felt like it was lifting and I could talk again. I share that experience to say people pretend. And when they pretend, it pretense is not of God. Pretense is a spirit, the spirit of pretense. God is authentic. Whatever you're giving to God, you give him real. You do something wrong, nobody go before God and try to pretend. Give him it as it is. God, me know seminar and do what I'm supposed to do. Be real and authentic. And that's how we operate. But the enemy tries to trick us, and he releases that spirit of pretense. And so, yes. All right, let's move on very quickly. Did that answer your question, Sister Candice?
Yes, it did. Thanks.
Praise God. All right. So quickly, as I try to finish this one, Leviticus 10 verses 1 to 4. I was talking about the judgment of God by fire. Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put them in fire, and added incense, and they offered an unauthorized fire before the Lord that is contrary to his command. So the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses said unto Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy, In the sight of all people, I will be honored. And Aaron remained silent. So these are Aaron's son going before the Lord, trying to offer a fire of sacrifice, but it was not authorized. And so the presence of the Lord came, the Holy Spirit came in the form of judgment and take them in, consume them. Amen. And so God does appear by fire. We may not, when Moses had an encounter with Jesus, he saw the burning bush. Now, as believers, and I said, we may not have that experience. I said, may, because it can still happen. We can't limit and we can't predict how God will work. While we don't know of anybody who's seen the literal fire other than Moses and other persons in the Bible, there's no way to prove that God will not appear to any of us by the actual literal fire. We can't limit God, right? But as believers, we still and we can experience the fire of God. And sometimes it appears as a burning sensation. I don't know if any of us have ever experienced it. It's like a burning inside your stomach, so much that you feel like you want to shout, you feel like you want to scream. And if you have not experienced it yet, don't worry, it will come. Amen. So we might feel that burning sensation. Sometimes the fire of God manifested in our hands and our feet, where our body parts become really warm. I was talking, I think it was Sister Ava. I hope you don't mind me sharing, Sister Ava, that I was talking to, and she started praying and she started feeling the burning, all over our body. I saw Sister Ava, right?
Yes, sister. And
And
then the
then.
feet, and after I hear a voice, they take off the shoes, kick off the slippers. So I took off and start praying.
Praise God. And that's how he appears to us. You might feel a burning. So you might find yourself praying and you feel like your hand start get hot. The first time it happened to me, I started flush my hand because I didn't know what was happening. But just know that it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's not going to bring any harm. And usually when that burning comes, it usually comes not limited. It can come when you're praying for healing for somebody. And if you feel that burning in your hand, you can rest your hand on the person. And usually healing takes place through you as the vessel, right? Sometimes we might find ourselves shaking, the Holy Spirit come upon us and we just shake. You find yourself trembling, like almost like you're trembling, that are like a tingling sensation in your body. And that's the Holy Spirit manifesting his power in that way. And I feel like when I look at Prophet Jeremiah, when he said, if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I feel like it was one of those encounters where the Holy Spirit just came upon Jeremiah and he felt that burning sensation on the inside. It was so intense that he couldn't contain it. He didn't want to speak, but he had to. Amen. And that's the fire of God. Sometimes you hear persons praying and you hear their voice trembling. It's not because of nerves. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes and you speak, there's a trembling in the voice. It just shows that, listen, this person have completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit and is no, the Holy Spirit is speaking through this person. And like I said, if it hasn't happened to you as yet, any of these experiences, no, you know what to expect. It's about reading the word, it's about praying constantly. And I can promise you that before long, you will encounter the Holy Spirit because he wants to reveal himself to us. It's just whether or not we are able to receive him. Amen. Praise God. All right. Oil. I don't think I can do probably more than oil. Oil. He re oil. The Holy Spirit is represented by oil, especially in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, oil, it wasn't just, they didn't use oil just for cooking or healing, but it had deep spiritual significance. When we look at some scriptures, we see where kings like King David, and like priests and prophets, they were anointed with oil. Amen. And that was a tangible, a visible sign to show the world that God had chosen them for his purpose. I will say the oil of itself does not have any power. It's just a representation. But what I noticed the other day while I was reading First Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel was told to go and find David and anoint him, I noticed that after I read that he poured the oil on David from the horn, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in a powerful way. And it was on him from that day on. That's what the Bible says. So while there is no power in the oil itself, it's a point of contact, it's a representation. So when the oil would have been poured on prophets and kings and so on in those days, then the Lord, even Saul, because I'm reading Samuel, and so I would have seen where Samuel anointed Saul as king. That's before he turned, And the Spirit of the Lord did come upon him also. All right. So it's just a representation. Nowadays, we see the olive oil where people use it to anoint ourselves. And like I said, there's no power in it, but it represents the power of God. And then through that point of contact, through us believing that this is a representation of the power of God, that provokes the manifestation of the power of God. But the oil, without Jesus, it doesn't have any power. Amen. Praise God. All right. I'm going to do the last one, wind. The Holy Spirit is represented by wind. And when I was, reading up and stuff, I realized that a lot of theologians would argue that wind is the most natural representation of the Holy Spirit. They say the most natural because the word spirit it's pneuma, and it can be translated as wind, and it can be translated as spirit. So I guess it has two different translations. It's a Greek word, pneuma, and it means wind, and it means spirit. So based on that, they're able to say it's the most natural representation of spirit. All right. When we look at the nature, when we think about the nature of wind, what do we notice? Can we see wind? When the wind is blowing, can we see it?
No, but we can feel it. Well, we
Exactly.
can see it if it's like, trees. But you can't really see it, if you get what I
But
mean.
you see the effects of it, but you don't see the actual wind.
Yes, yes,
Get what
yes.
I'm saying. Thank you, sis. Sister Desvin, you wanted to share?
No, I was going to pretty much say the same thing, like you can feel it, but you can't see it physically. You
Right.
can't see it, but you can see like the effects of it, like the trees moving and stuff moving.
And I agree. So, and that's how the Holy Spirit is. Wind is invisible, but it is so powerful. You ever see when storm come, how wind tear down some houses that you think were invincible? It's very powerful, but yet it is invisible. You cannot
Amen.
see it, but you can see the effects of it. And the Holy Spirit works the same way. You can look at him like, oh, you look at Deacon or look at Sister Camille, but you can see the powerful changes in our lives. If you had known me before and you see me now, then you would understand the kind of change I'm talking about. But you know yourself, and you know where you were, and you know where you are now. Different mindset, different everything. So you know the kind of power that I'm talking about. It brings new birth, moving wherever God's will is. And when we look at Acts chapter 2 again, verse 2, and we have the scripture already, it said the Holy Spirit came to the disciples in a and like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And so we may notice that sometimes in scriptures or even in our experiences, the Holy Spirit has, there's a coupled manifestation of the presence of God, meaning the Holy Spirit manifests in more than one ways on a single occasion. So in that single occasion in Acts 2:2, we see where the Holy Spirit first came as a mighty rushing wind. And when he come as the wind, when he sat upon them, and his disciples had what appeared to be cloven tongues of fire. So we see a combination of wind and fire, the Holy Spirit of God come. We know that that is a mighty experience when you have the coupled manifestation of the presence of God like that, right? And so they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So yes, you have coupled manifestation, but the Holy Spirit also comes like wind. And I'm going to stop there for tonight. I thought I would finish, but it's just, like I said, it's inexhaustible. But we continue to learn and we continue to go on. But at this time, I'm going to open for any questions that you may have before we close. Or any feedback, any comment, anything. All right. Any questions, anything? All right, I guess not. So let me wrap up this little section
Wait,
that
Sister
I
Camille,
have.
I have a question.
Okay.
What you were saying about the olive oil, there's no pour in the olive oil itself, but it's what we believe that
It starts there with
starts
faith.
there. Okay, but with that logic, doesn't that mean that it can be applied to anything then?
The olive, yes, because Sister Candice said I went home one night and never have no olive oil, and I needed olive oil to do something. I mean, I have no olive oil in the house. I was in Jamaica at the time. I get a bottle of water because it's not pouring the oil. I consecrate the water, I submit it to God, and then I use the water and I ask if it'll work. So it's just a representation, and because they used it in the days of old, the oil, symbolizing the power of God, then we use the oil. But it doesn't, there's no hard or fast, it must be the oil, because the oil is just oil. It's just oil where you add up on Amazon or you take up in a supermarket, or it's just oil. You understand? That's a very good question to stack in this, yeah. Praise God. Anybody else? I hope that answered your question, though. Bless
Yes, it
them.
did, but I'm still thinking, like, I've seen them use water before. I've seen them use olive oil. I'm just trying to think out of the box something that I've never seen them use, if it would actually work as well. I don't know.
You know how you have a nail and you want to get the nail in the wall, and you can use a stone to knock in the nail, you know. But the ideal tool would be the hammer. But it's no hard or fast way to say that if you don't have the hammer, you can't use the stone. So because the oil is explicitly stated in the Bible, the water is explicitly stated in the Bible, we generally use those things. But it's still no power in the oil of itself. The power, all power comes from God. All power comes from God. So if you take that olive oil, it's not consecrated, you don't believe, but you just have to let me use the olive oil because then say, and you pour it on, they never experience healing because healing comes from God. They never experience deliverance because the power is from God. So whatever, if they decide to use something else, I guarantee you, with that belief in God, that consecration, that faith, it worked just the same. It worked just the same. Jesus
Amen.
unconditional, you know. take a spit in spit pan the ground and take up and put in the people them eye. Me nah say nobody fi do it no, but I'm just showing you how he works, you know? Go ahead, Deacon.
Yes, and I was saying, just like with the apostles, especially Peter, his shadow alone would cause healing, and the laying on of hands. They would lay their hands on and it would cause healing. We don't see them using it much in the New Testament with the apostles, the oil. And it goes to show that we must be careful what we the representations that we use, because we don't want to place our faith into those representations. Because you could say, boy, you need virgin olive oil to do the trick, and it's as if you're out of virgin olive oil, no, it's as if nothing going to work. And you don't want to place yourself in that dilemma where you say, boy, if you don't have the olive oil, no healing not going to take place. Don't place your, we're not supposed to place our faith or emphasis on the creation. We must put it on the creator God that will do it. Amen.
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 Praise God. Yes, man. And anything, Sister Candice, people pray and they consecrate their cloth. Like in my closet, I have a scarf and it's my prayer cloth. It's on my altar, so I know a lot of the times when I pray, it's in that space. And so if I come in and I feel sick, I can take it up and place on my head. There's no power in the cloth. There's no, but my faith is that all the prayers that I would have prayed is somehow stored from God. And when I place it on my head, it's a point of contact through which God will work. But at the end of the day, healing comes from God. All right. If you have another feedback, we'll take it. I like when we have discussions, and we're able to learn and bring clarity. So,
My other question is on the issue of conviction. Sometimes they say conviction is like a gut feeling, but I feel like there's a fine line between, a conviction from the Holy Spirit and just, I don't know, something you feel, you're something off from yourself. For example, like, on the topic of giving, like people beg all the time and you're not sure who to give to. But then sometimes you have this feeling like, oh, if I don't give, I'm gonna feel bad. But then is that actually a conviction from the Holy Spirit or is it just your conscience? Like, I don't know. But you can't be going around giving everybody everything you have.
I agree. And that's one of the tricks that the enemy plays, especially on me. I mean, hand light, Sister Candice, it light. I feel like I'm a giver, but I give so much, and I feel like the enemy realizes it and he uses it and just come and play. But as I say, the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more you know his nature, And then I'm not saying God will, the Holy Spirit won't nudge you to give somebody even when you don't have nothing, He will, because sometimes it's a test. And when you pass, you get back, But the enemy also plays on that because he wants to interfere with what we have. And so I believe there's a thin line too. And I am still learning how to differentiate between the two. Because sometimes it's the conviction is very clear and I know it's God talking to me and I move. But sometimes there's something called false guilt that the enemy plagues us with. When you get a chance to read about it, make you let me ask you now and me feel you me ask you for something and you don't have it. You don't say you don't give me. And then the enemy come to you and come feed you with some lies. And tell you, say, oh, you hold on, panic, and oh, you're disobedient to God. He does that, and it causes you to feel weighed down and guilty. And some persons mistake it for conviction. But that is false guilt. It comes from the enemy. So yes, I believe that you are right. I don't know if Deacon wants to comment, but I do believe that you are right. And like I said, that is where I am. I am still struggling with that one. July month end, I had something similar, and I was supposed somebody called me, and I wrestled with it because, boy, I mean, I don't know if I'm forgiven. It's like me, on one hand, I'm saying the Holy Spirit, I'm hearing, you know, she needs to learn whatever that is supposed to mean. On another hand, I mean, if I'm me and myself now, I say, oh God, but you know, me no one who say in need, I wrestled with it for days. Is the scripture in a Matthew, the Holy Spirit sent me, and when I went into the scripture, I'm reading it, I said, God, me not understand this, because it was the five virgin, I mean, I said, but I am prepared, but they're not prepared. But then further on in the scripture, it spoke about being obedient or something like that. Me no know. Yeah, I think so. It spoke about you if your enemy, if your neighbor needs something, you forgive them. If your enemy needs clothes, you forgive clothes them. If they need food, I mean, I said, I am torn. I said, Jesus, what me fi do? You know. But as I sat there in the stillness, he spoke to me, and that just settled all of the dough, all of the guilt that he did it. It just left. He said to me, at the end of the day, it's obedience, and that's, I mean, I said obedience. The people, the you are saying to me, clothe me enemy, feed me enemy, but you're also saying to me, let people store up them something like the ants use wisdom. I don't even know if I explain it properly, but at the end of the day, what he wanted to say to me, Camille, is obedience, and if you obey me, then everything is well. And then I realized it came over with clarity. Listen, make it go on. Do not stretch your hand, not this time. You know? So it's Deacon, you wanna help us?
Yes, it's a thin line. It's a thin line for real, saints of God. You know, whether to give, not to give, whether it's a genuine cause, whether it's not, you know, and it all goes to show that we're still in the learning process. You know, the closer we're drawn to the Holy Spirit, is the more we will learn from him and what he desire for us to do. It's always good to give, and sometimes it's always good not to give. So you know, so
Chicken.
it's all goes to so as Sister Candy, so I would say, it's a gut feeling, but you want to know whether or not that gut feeling is the Holy Spirit prompting you what to say or what to do, you know. And it is one of those things. The experience with Sister Camille, it would take her from one scripture to the other scripture, and all of them is positive. You know, which one of the positives to embrace at that particular time? You know, so it's all a matter of time. Is do you have it to give now? Will it interfere with what you're about to do? You know, do you you know, yeah. Yeah, it's prayer. You just have to do it prayerfully.
Yes,
Amen.
I think that is best. We have to do it prayerfully and seek God about it. And yeah, that's what I would say. But I do understand where you're at, stuck on this, and I agree that this is a thin line. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Meaningful discussion, saints of God. Do we have one last one before we close off in prayer? Don't be afraid to ask your questions, you know, that's all we learn. Amen. And I'm
This
listening.
is not a question. Thank you for the clarification with the representation of the oil and the Holy Spirit, because I was once of the misconception that if I'm not using Benjamin Oliver from Jamaica, the word nalo get done.
Amen.
So anybody may know a quote would ask him, carry Benjamin Oliver for me.
Marco, I still like it, you know, and I still will ask somebody to carry it up for me. But I just know that if I take that olive oil and I don't consecrate it and I don't invite the power of God to work through it, and I don't believe, nothing is going to happen. And that does prove that it's not the oil. So, all right. Thank you so much, Saints. As Deacon would have mentioned, I know it's a sacrifice. It's a work week, the second day. You know, people are tired, and but you have made a sacrifice. And so I hope that, you know, as you come, you would have been fed, you would have gotten enough to talk about, to think about, to ponder on, something that stirs up the some questions inside of you. If you find yourself with a lot of questions, a lot more than before you came on, then you're at a good place. Because it means you're now hungry, right? And so you can go on and do your own little research. And perhaps the next time we meet, you might have something that you have learned that you want to share, you know? And that's totally fine. So again, we want to thank you for joining us. Initially we had said that we would meet twice a month. On Tuesdays, we're still working that plan to perfection. It's a challenge. It's really a sacrifice. But in the meantime, while we get to that place, I invite you to continue to come out, because I see you guys coming out on a Thursday night and on a Saturday night for a meeting and Bible study. And that's another way that you will be fed, you know. So just continue to come out, continue to pray, continue to read the scripture, the search. I am available. My number is in the group for anybody who wants to call me about anything. Let me say, we might not know the right answer at the time, but I'll find out. All right. And I will be available to pray. Praise God. So as we go, thank you again for coming. Whose turn is it to pray? I think Sister Desiree, I think it's your turn to close us off in prayer. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Sorry to throw it on you so suddenly. I forgot, but I know Sister Shanique went and Sister Candicia. So now it's you. Next time it will be
I'm not a great prayer, now, but I'm still learning.
every prayer, prayer, Sister Desiree. Pray in Jesus' name.
Okay.
Amen.
Most righteous and eternal Father, dear God, we want to thank you, dear God, for bringing us together tonight for another Bible study, dear God. Father God, bless the moderators, person on the platform, dear God, for this learning experience. Father God, this is actually a learning experience for me.
Yes, ma'am.
And I am grateful and I'm appreciative, dear God, that you bring all of us together, dear God, to learn something new. Father
Lord.
God, we just want to give you a thanks, dear God. Lift your name up high, dear God.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, bless each one of us. We are all going through our personal struggles, our battles, dear God. But Father God, you have proved to us time and time again that, dear God, you are great. You are the creator, dear God. You've said to trust in you, Almighty God, dear God. Faith, dear God, can move mountain, dear God. And Father God, as we come before you, dear God, we want to give you a thanks, give you praise, dear God. It's not an easy road, Almighty God, but with your strength, dear God, and the belief we have in you, dear God, you keep lifting us up higher and higher each and every day, dear God. Thank you again for protecting us on our journey, dear God. Father God, bless us as a platform, dear God, to grow, dear God.
Jesus.
Help us, dear God. Teach us, dear God, the way to move forward. Father God,
Into God.
there it is nothing good that we have done each day. We know we are sin, dear God, but we thank you, dear God, that you're not like man.
Thank you,
And
Jesus.
you continue forgiving us, dear God,
Yes,
and
Lord.
helping us to move forward.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, I want to bless each and everyone on the platform, dear God. I don't know everyone by name, dear God, but you know everyone by name, by heart, by soul, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you will bless them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, Almighty God. And I just want to say thanks, dear God. Thank you,
Amen.
Almighty God, for everything that you have brought us through, dear God. Father God, it's been a journey for me, and I know other persons can attest on the platform, dear God. But Father God, with you, dear God, I am here today, and I can give you praise, and I can say, dear God, I am not where I want to be, dear God, but I'm definitely growing
Jesus.
in your
Amen.
presence, Almighty God. And I just want to
Hallelujah.
say thank you,
Hallelujah.
dear God, and
Hallelujah.
bless us all, dear God. In the mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Bless the
Bless the
Lord,
Lord.
that is rain. God bless you. I'm supposed to do that big prayer. My God, to God be the glory. Praise God. God bless you, people of God. As you go, I pray that the holy presence of God will go with you. And I pray that you will encounter or have an experience with the Holy Spirit of God Himself as He reveals Himself to you. And when you come back, you will be able to testify of your encounter in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Right.
Eddie, and you, as it Maureen Matheson, Martin, want to thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. I'm not sure how you got the link, but we're always welcoming persons to be a part of our discussion. Amen. And so it's good to have you. It's good to have each of you. And as you go in the present, in the fear and the presence of the Lord. Deacon, you have any final remarks?
Just a big God bless you for the sacrifice again and to welcome you at such short notice. I know the Lord has been doing great things in this ministry, and we want to give him thanks. I just want to encourage you all to read the word and pray. Read and pray and live the life of a Christian. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise
Amen.
God. All right, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you again. Bless you, Sister Shanique, Sister Desiree, Sister Candicia, Sister Ava, Sister Matheson, Brother Emmanuel. God bless you. Have a good night.
Have a good night,
Good
everyone.
night. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Say, have a good night.
Bless the Lord.